All right, greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. The Lord be with you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your awesome, wondrous works towards us, O Lord. We're seeing awesome victory and celebration. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, bless us today, Lord. Amen. All right, I'm going to continue with the government and church faction. Some really good things have been happening, wonderful things. And first thing I'm going to share with you is about messenger angels. One of them came to us the other day, an angel who records things. And Eve Brast shares the revelation. This was in our last meeting on Saturday. She said, "I saw something on our meeting 9:1:18 while David was speaking and reading out of the book of Ezra 6:3-5, the Spirit told me to look. So I looked over at the front door and my eyes were opened to see a large angel standing at the corner right behind Leon, where the front door is. His head almost touched the ceiling, and his shoulder width was about 3 feet across. His hair was wavy and shoulder length and looked like metallic gold. He wore a simple woven robe that looked like it had layers to it, and there was a 4-inch wide belt of woven gold around his waist that hung down in the front with large golden tassels. He had a large gold covered ledger opened upon his left forearm and was writing with a tall golden pen in his right hand. He would look directly at David and then look down at the ledger and record everything that he was telling us. Then he would look at David again for a moment and then write down more of what he said. I understood that he was the angel of records assigned to us, and he was charged with recording our meetings, the things of our hearts, our attitudes in worship, the things we thought and said. He was especially interested in and paying very close attention to what David was telling us and meticulously writing everything he spoke during the moments that I was able to see him. He never stopped looking at David and recording in the book as he spoke to my mind and said, 'Tell him to pray verses 3-5 into your realm,' specifically into the physical realm," unquote. So, of course, that's how the things of the Word of God come to pass, as we speak them into the physical realm. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, right? So, but I got to tell you something. When I copied this off of the email that Eve sent me and pasted it into the article, the devil did not want this to be done for larger UBM. Because when I copied the whole revelation, I'm talking about from beginning to end, this part in the middle was removed. And when I read it, I thought, something's wrong there, but I didn't know what it was. I just went on, you know. And then the Lord brought me back to it. And the part that was removed was, "Tell him to pray verses 3-5 into your realm." The part that was left read very clearly, "As he spoke to my mind and said," specifically into the physical realm. So, you know, I thought, how in the world could that have happened? So when we saw it, of course, we put it back in there, and we knew that what the devil was trying to do. But anyway, we're going to pray this today, and we're going to believe, and God's going to bring it to pass. His angels are going to go forth and do it. She said, I knew David was parallel with Cyrus. Of course, that's a revelation that we've had too before. Then he faded out of my sight, that is the angel, even though I knew he was still there recording. Well, that's true. We've seen them quite a few times. They appear, and when they fade out, of course, we know they're still there doing whatever they were doing. So this text that I was reading in the assembly, and the angel was very interested in, and the angel commanded that we speak it into the physical realm, was received in our morning meeting by faith at random. And I was reading it in our evening assembly when the angel showed up telling me through Eve to speak this into existence. Let me share it with you. It's very important. Ezra 6 and 3. In the first year of Cyrus the king, now we've pretty well figured out who Cyrus is. It's the one who's conquering Babylon, right? And the one who God ordained to conquer Babylon, President Trump. He's not doing this on his own, folks. I got to tell you, God could make a chimpanzee to do this. It's God. You got to give credit to God, and I pray that President Trump will do that too. But he has been a very bold person, and he's making the right steps. Everybody's saying he's so intelligent. That's true, but the intelligence is coming from God. Yeah. Cyrus the king made a decree. Okay, so she said there was a parallel between me and Cyrus here. And I'm making a decree. But I'm going to read this to you first. Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Well, you know what Jerusalem represents? It represents the bride. The rebuilding of the bride. Right? You know, the temple, which is in Jerusalem, which is the bride. The temple represents the heart of the bride where God dwells. God wants this restored, and it's happening, and it's going to happen. Let the house be builded, the place where they offer sacrifices. Let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, the breadth thereof 60 cubits. With 3 courses of great stones and a course of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. Now, I got to tell you why Cyrus is connected with this and how this money to build the kingdom is coming out of the king's house. I believe it's the RV or the GCR. So, you know, the RV is the revaluation of these funds, which they're saying is going to happen at any time now. Of course, it could happen within the next month or 2 months or whatever, you know, but it's now that it's going to happen, I believe. So Cyrus, who is Trump, will supply the David Manchilds by the RV, because there's so many Christians who have bought into this. We personally haven't bought any, but the Lord told us we weren't going to have to because he has other people doing that. And they bought into the RV. And, of course, Obama was the one standing in the way for these years to stop this from happening. And Trump is the total opposite. And he's in favor of it. He thinks it'll be a part of this New World Order economy. Okay. So Cyrus, who is Trump, will supply to the David Manchilds by the RV, not a personal thing, you know, the money to build the house of God in the bride. The parallel is that just as Trump will supply, so will the Davids. You see, there is a parallel there. And going on, it says, and also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem. This was a great falling away. When they rebelled against God, he sent the beast in there, conquered them, carried them off from their land, their promised land. And they haven't been back since. They've been so full of baloney with all the religious nonsense of Babylon that they don't know what it's like to dwell in Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, not a false Jerusalem over in the Middle East. And brought unto Babylon, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, brought unto Babylon, be restored and brought again to the temple, which is at Jerusalem, every one to its place, and thou shalt put them in the house of God. Many years ago, the Lord showed me that these vessels are his people, the gold and silver vessels of his people. And he gave me this text, and thou shalt put them in the house of God. Many, many times I'd flip my Bible open and put my finger right on it. Started making notes in my Bible that I had, which is before this one, concerning this. And I finally gave up because I could see I was just going to fill the margin up with it. And I just couldn't do it. Because he gave it to me so many times, I said, I believe it, Lord, I believe it. And I believe that's what our job to do is to cause people to grow up out of Babylon and come to restore the real kingdom of God, which Jesus and his disciples began. So this rebuilding of the kingdom is the restoration of all things that Joel spoke about. It comes after the falling away into bondage of Babylonish religion, and it is beginning. Because we are speaking it into existence today and yesterday. So, she said, I asked Father for a word for David personally concerning the angel's meticulous recording of what he was saying, and my finger was on the phrase, the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And that's in 1 Peter 4 and 14. It says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. So, we decreed this for the Lord in that evening meeting. That's a yesterday evening meeting. And we're going to do so now for greater UBM. During that meeting, the Lord showed us, as he has many times before, with great wind and torrential rain, as we spoke about the rain of revival. This has happened to us so many times, people start laughing because there won't be necessarily even any clouds or no big storm on the horizon, and all of a sudden it just starts pouring. One time we used to be in a metal roofed building. And literally it roared in there so nobody could hear until it stopped. It was just the Lord. Everybody laughed when it happened because every time we'd mention the name rain or the name revival, a storm would just blow up and the rain would come like the latter rain is coming with the Lord, as Hosea 6, 1 through 3 says, you know. So let us decree this. The Lord is a stickler for doing things the way he ordained, bringing things into existence by our confession, by our speaking, his word, right? So, Ezra 6, 3 through 5. Lord, we decree this for your kingdom today. We decree that that which Cyrus decreed many years ago as a type and shadow of what's going on today with Trump and with the man-child. There's a parallel there. And we decree it that the people of God who have been taken captive, in other words, concerning the house of God at Jerusalem, let the house be builded. in the name of Jesus. The people of God who have been taken captive will be returned. The wicked among them who are not elect will not. The place where they offer sacrifices and let foundations, let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. We decree it in Jesus' name. The height and the breadth be 70 cubits each, with 70 courses of great stone and 70 course of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. We decree it. The expenses are coming from the king's house. We don't care how. They're coming from the king's house. We decree it in the name of Jesus Christ. And also let the gold and silver vessels of God's house, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem, be brought unto and brought unto Babylon, be restored and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to its place, and thou shalt put them in the house of God. We decree it. We decree it, Satan, that you loose these people who've been taken into bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree it that it has to come to pass, because the Lord God has said it. He showed us in type and shadow what this was and what it meant. We decree it now. We command it to happen. Satan, you loose these captives. Babylonish system, you loose these captives. We curse that mountain that Jesus cursed, that mount of corruption that represents the Babylonish religion that had taken God's people captive. We curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. So, then, of course, in the same meeting, Vanessa Weeks saw angels. Same day, 9-1. At the same meeting, while we were singing, "Come heal this land." What is the land? Hebrews chapter 6. We're the land. We're the land that's bringing forth the crop of Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And if it brings forth thorns and thistles, it's nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned, right? You know, thorns represent the curse. So we were singing, "Come heal this land." And she said, "I saw in the spirit a large white sheet being spread over the house where we were. And then I saw angels come among us to minister and to heal us. The one I saw had short, light hair and a white gown on, with a black rope-like belt around his waist. He was on his knees and placing a band-aid, symbolical, I'm sure, on someone's forehead." In other words, a healing in the mind, a healing in the heart, right? "It was not a specific person that I saw, but I knew this was going on throughout our assembly." And soon after this, Debbie started singing, "Let Your Healing Flow." Yes, people were moving in the Spirit last night. We were talking about moving in the Spirit rather than in the flesh, in the plans and programs of man, which God had showed us He was displeased with in the carnal churches. And so we were moving in the Spirit, and Debbie came out with that song, started singing, and people joined in, and so on. So, "Let Your Healing Flow." And so it was. So Vanessa said, "Thank you, Father, for your healing flowing to us as we worship you in spirit and in truth." That's what we were talking about, too. In spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now here's another angel manifestation I'm going to share with you. This is about a warring angel fulfilling our prayers. And this is Eve Brast. And this was several days ago that she saw this. She said, "I wanted to share with you what I saw during the morning prayer meeting several days ago. As I was sitting in the meeting, I look up at where the warring angel stands in the balcony just outside of Michael's room." So, you know, in our meeting place, it's really goes up for two stories in the living room, and there's rooms on either side there. But what we call the balcony is the walkway between the rooms up there and the bathroom, you know. We call it the balcony because that's where the overflow goes when we fill the room up. We put them up in the balcony. And this is a morning prayer meeting. It's voluntary, and some people come, some people work. So, you know, it's just a very casual thing, you know. But we've been seeing those angels up there. And she said, my spiritual eyes were opened, and I was allowed to see him again. Well, there have been two angels seen many times by Eve and Lexi on both ends of the balcony watching over our meetings. And we knew that they were there to fulfill our prayers and commands. And God has told us many times to command the angels and send them forth. That, of course, this is according to the Word. This is not commanding them to, you know, for the benefit of the flesh, you know. This time there was one scene up there by Eve, and she, because there was a specific revelation that the Lord was sending through him, right? She said he had shoulder-length, wavy, dark brown hair and a deep furrowed brow that gives him a very stern look. His eyes were full of light. He holds a long spear in his right hand and a sword of blue flames in his left hand. He has a leather satchel that hangs low across his chest over towards his right hip. And this is how I saw him the first time several months back. But this time, when I saw him, he was not holding his sword. And as I looked up at him, he saw that I could see him. And he looked down at me with his deep furrowed brow. And now I could see that his eyes were very deep blue. And he smiled at me. I asked him, mind to mind, what do you keep in your bag? He then took his left hand and drew five stars out of the satchel and held them out to me. They looked like small, bright balls of white light in the palm of his hand. He answered back to my mind, these are your prayers and the prayers of your brethren when activated by the Word. Make sure you pray the Word. Well, this could mean a couple of things. I believe praying according to the Word. God hears that, of course. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you, right? And also praying, speaking the Word in our prayers, which we often do. I often quote the Word when we're praying for people or praying things, you know, and others do too. We're people of the Word. So he said, make sure you pray the Word. And I knew that he hurled these stars at our enemies as we prayed the Word over the various situations that we were faced with. So with that in mind, you remember now in the former dream that she said there was a parallel between the Davids or the man-child and Trump. And I briefly pointed that out, but I want to bring you back to this revelation briefly too. This was given to Eve on 11-11, 2016. And it's about this parallel that we're talking about. And this is very interesting because we're watching a parallel come to pass between what is happening in the government and what is happening in the faction in the church. We're watching it. And we know the end already, too, because it's written very clearly. So anyway, he said, I dreamed that I was standing in the back of a press conference room, and there was a stage up front and a podium. And there were reporters seated in the chairs on the floor waiting for the president-elect to come and give his acceptance speech. I could hear people all over the world cheering and celebrating their victory, and that was certainly true, I got to tell you. And of course, the term president-elect here is used when he is elected to office but not yet inaugurated, right? You know that. So they were waiting for the fulfillment of that. I was expecting Donald Trump to come walking in, but instead, almost like I was given a glimpse of a parallel universe, David Eales, and I say as a type of the David Manchild reformers, came walking in from the right of the stage with four large bodyguards dressed in white shirts and black suits with no ties. Okay, them big bodyguards, they're right there. I know it. You can't believe, folks, how many dreams people have had about them assassinating me. And you know what? They can't do it. By the grace of God, them big bodyguards are there. But anyway, let me go on. What Trump represents as the head of a natural government, the man-child represents as the head of the spiritual government. And of course, we know who the real head of both is, and that's God, right? So this is the parallel. Okay, so many things said about one can be said about the other. The faction in the government and in the church, what can be said about one can be said about the other, right? So David was dressed in an ivory-colored suit with white shirt. I hate suits, but I know the symbolism here. There were about 15 or 20 government agents gathered all around the podium. Well, the spiritual government agents are the angels. They fulfill what the man-child speaks in agreement with God, right? Hebrews 1 and 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" So notice that the Lord rules through his true ministers and angels. And she went on to say the agents were waiting for President-elect David to give them their orders. And I've received this many times in many different ways. The Lord has told me, go and, you know, command the angels. This or that, you know, he's done this many times. So we've been doing this, by the way, since the beginning of this factious war in the government, and even before we've done it, you know, because it just felt right, you know. But all over the stage, she said, among the agents were many empty cardboard boxes that had been opened up and were ready to be packed up. We know what this is. This is the red wave, folks. This is the Red Sea, you know. They're being moved out. There is a red wave coming. You can guarantee that. As David stood at the podium, he began motioning with his index finger to each agent and giving them their orders one at a time. I understood that he was sending them throughout Washington, D.C., to find all the evil, wicked people in the government and flush them out of their hiding places and send them packing. So that's what the boxes are for. And you know what? We've been doing that, and guess what? It's happening. Been happening ever since we started doing that. I then had a vision of corrupt government officials hiding under their desks in fetal positions. They were terrified and paralyzed with fear and couldn't function anymore. And I got to tell you, that fear is carried right on over into the church, of the faction in the church. Because the same thing that Trump has prepared for the government, the man-child has prepared for the church faction. So I also think the boxes represent the timing of the wilderness as well as sending the enemy and their evil vessels packing. I believe this dream has two meanings. The elect corporate man-child is coming into power in the spiritual realm, concurrently with Trump in the physical realm, and also Father is confirming that the body of David has power to send forth the angels to expose and, by the way, eject the evil. And he is answering our prayers of faith. Yes, he is. And one clear parallel I see is that Trump has all the info of the NSA on the governmental factious activities at his fingertips. He has authority over this. He can call for any amount of information on anybody that he wants, and he's done it. That's why Hillary said, if this guy wins, we'll all hang. Oh, anyway. The angels were sent out to get proof on the latest faction against UBM and myself, and they came through because they have continually been giving us evidence. And the Trump slash Davids, if you will, are ready to bring down both factions now. Okay. So this next part, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the swamp draining. This is where we're headed, folks. You know, it's all over the internet now that McCain was killed, and the gematria seems to prove it. That's what I paid attention to. You know, a lot of people that deal with gematria, they thinking this is the Illuminati that's making the numbers come out. That's ridiculous. The whole Bible is chock-a-block with gematria from one end to the other. Every letter is ordered of the Lord. There's only one person in control of history. And it always repeats, because God is always on the throne. What they're finding out is what God has said is going to happen with their gematria. So, gematria points out that McCain was killed on God's time. Everything in there matches the gematria. It's amazing. And then there's another gematria that is predicting 9-4 for the death of G.H.W. Bush. Of course, he's a criminal along with all the rest of them. And then I put those two links here. You can look at them and see what you think, you know. The prediction for the future, well, I put less on that, but the one, not because it's not true, it could very well be true. The one about McCain seems to be very true. It was not just an accidental brain cancer that finally took him out. Okay, it don't seem possible. What I'm going to talk to you about now is, I don't know how much of it is true, but I know some of it is true. And I'm putting it out there for anybody to either confirm or deny with proof of some kind. But you know Q, right? It's not a man. It's a group of people that are basically aligned with Trump, have inside information. They are obviously very close to him because they know things before they happen. And I'm not denying the fact that the enemy has sent out disinformation and blamed it on Q. So that's why I say, that's the only reason I'm saying you have to question, you know. And also when Q speaks about the future, of course. Men don't really have all the control over the future that they think, but these people have been pretty right. So Q is supposed to be the author of both of these threads that I'm going to share with you. And if anyone finds out if it's true or not, you can let us know. We'd be glad. And Brandy found this link on dnarsgurus.blogspot.com 2018. And here's a couple of articles that are picked up and posted there. The first one is called Restored Republic Via a GCR. This global currency revaluation, right? And the summary as of August the 31st. The below is a summary of information from the internet. It would be up to the individual reader, this is their writing, not mine, to do their own research and decide whether it is valid or not. Patience is a virtue. Having virtue is a sign of a good moral being. Good moral beings have the power to overcome evil and change the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But who is good but God, Jesus said, right? So here's a summary. Q announced that there would be an August boom. 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 Okay, some of y'all may have already read this. That will identify it for you. Here's number one. Boom. On August the 8th, 2018, President Trump signed into law S-2779, the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Amendment Act of 2018, which amended the Act of 2001 and allowed the Zimbabwe ZIM to back the global currency reset. That's what I should have said, instead of revaluation. Global currency reset. Interested investors would be offered a 7% tax-free gold-backed savings bond, and the monies from which would be used for humanitarian purposes in Zimbabwe. Well, the people who, of course, who are holding these bills, they're going to be rich. I know people who have done this, and they are sure God spoke to them to do this. He didn't speak to me to do this. He told me I wouldn't have to do this. All I had to do is believe what he told me, that he was going to bring me all of this money to take care of God's people. He showed me that in a vision, and so on. So I didn't care where it came from. I'm not on one side or the other side in this whole situation, but I do believe, the more I think about it and the more I've read about it, I do believe this is happening. There has been an awful lot of baloney about it out there. We know that too, because it's out there to scatter the people who don't know God sent them, you know, to do this. So, and that's a good thing. But there's a lot of Christians, and that's one reason Obama stood against it. It was going to enrich the kingdom of heaven. So anyway, these bills, the ZIMs, are worth a lot of money. And number two, boom. On Friday, August the 23rd, between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. EST, the Quantum Financial System, QFS, was made live globally, taking over the old fiat U.S. dollar Federal Reserve / IRS privately owned system of the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Queen's Bank of England, Vatican Central Banks across the globe. Ooh, that's nice. I hope it's true. And number three, boom. On August the 25th, pictures of the new $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, and $100 gold-backed U.S. dollars were released. Gold-backed U.S. dollars were released. And then there's a video here for you to look at that if you like. Number four, boom. There was a super freighter full of Chinese goods sitting in Iraq's port waiting to be delivered and paid for out of the new Iraqi dinar rate on August the 31st, midnight Iraqi time, August 31st, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, you know, they've been waiting to get their government in order that there would be some credibility to raising the value of their dinar. And it seems to be coming to pass. Number five, boom, 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 boom. I'm quoting. Q posts on August the 30th. indicated that the NSA, CIA, and their seven super satellite computers run by the cabal, as they spied on private citizens and controlled the global financial system, were no more. Well, I heard from another source that this did happen. Okay. Oh, not that the whole economic system has collapsed. It's just that people who have been controlling it and cheating and robbing and plundering you are being removed. Okay, number six, boom. Release of the 800 numbers could likely happen this Labor Day weekend. That's supposition, you know. That's something I don't stand behind too much. I do believe it's coming, but I don't know that it's going to happen on the weekend. If it does, great, great. When both U.S. and Canadian governments, markets, and banks were closed, also because countries participating in the global currency reset have been ordered to be GESARA compliant before Friday, August the 31st, and additionally because a Sino-African conference in China was scheduled to announce the worth of Zim that backed the global currency reset, right after the holiday on September 3rd through the 4th. Again, we'll see what happens. I'm easy to wait and see. I know God's timing is perfect and he's going to do it. Men's ideas about what looks like is going to happen, well, I can take that or leave it, but I do believe that something wonderful is happening, that the swamp is being drained. I believe by the time we get to the election, there won't be much left of them. I'm not saying they're not going to fight back. I do believe they're about to fight back. I believe they're backed into a corner. I'm talking about the deep state. I'm talking about Las Vegas multiplied. You know, that was them, by the way, and their ISIS friends. Number seven, boom, boom. In September, there would be exposure of who actually caused 911. Oh, won't that be wonderful? Because I got to tell you, I know about buildings and I worked around buildings and watched buildings being built. You know, I was a supervisor at Exxon where the frames of buildings were put up and much equipment was put on them and the gunite was blasted onto the I-beams and so on. A fire can't do that. A fire cannot do that. Those buildings cannot come down in that way. They were brought down. Plus, reveal who was behind the March 11, 2011 Fukushima nuclear and tsunami mass murders. Okay, so there's an argument over whether that was really something done by man or not. I'm not arguing about it. I know they can do it. Don't know if they did, but I know that they can. I haven't studied it enough to know. And number eight, boom, boom, boom. The resulting fireworks from exposure of these events would target a complex of foundations, plus the Vatican Bank, which have been used by the Khazarian mafia to camouflage their control of the privately owned central banks, Fortune 500 corporations, and most so-called world leaders. Number nine, boom. We were witnessing the dismantling of the entire cabal structure that since 1916 has used the global monetary system to keep citizens in debt, control international politics, and head the entire globe towards mass destruction. Yes, and they're trying very hard to start a war right now. But they're being torn down pretty fast, so they'll have to work quick if they're going to start a war. We know that the second seal is going to be a big war, right? Yeah. And that's right after the man-child is brought forth, Jesus in the man-child. Verse 10, boom, 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 boom. Once the battle of the cabal ended, the RV would begin. The new transparent quantum financial system implemented and Jesara announced, ending debt slavery and allowing prosperity to reign. It all sounded pretty good. So that's why I say if some of you have some inside information, we'd love to have it. Here's the another article. RV Intelligence Alert, August 31st, 2018. This is the revaluation thing, you know. God's going to redistribute the wealth, but not the way Obama foresaw it. So sorry. This is a disclaimer. The following is an overview of the current situation based on intelligence leaks received from several sources, which may or may not be accurate. Other confirmed sources may also be included in this overview. And all cabal networks and communications were shut down. It's hard to make war like that. I'm not saying they can't and do a lot of destruction. They have been doing a lot of destruction. All cabal surveillance and spy satellites have been terminated. I've heard that that is true. This occurrence was confirmed by Q. Okay, here's Q Post 2012. Snow White 7 now is offline. Package complete. Have a nice day. Q. Post 2016. Blind eyes in the sky. Shall we play a game? You don't, if your eyes have been taken down, you don't play games, you know. Post of 2018. Big Bird 9 is now offline. Q. Post 2020. GCHQ booed. Sent distress signal 8:09 Eastern Standard Time, NSA, no more. Okay. What the criminals have been using, they're saying, is being taken down. Post 2021, main frequency band terminated. We found out they were using these a while back. Goodbye, Q said. Securing or cutting off means of communications prior to an invasion is a legitimate military strategy, Q said. The cabal's ability to coordinate assets and retaliate has been severed. Like a ship dead in the water or a chicken running around with its head cut off. And retaliation is futile. I don't know if I believe that. I think I'd rather believe the Lord that Babylon is going to retaliate against God's people, because we're still getting it in our morning meetings. And when I say God's people, it's the Zedekiah group, you know, the false, evil, apostate, factious leadership of God's people. That's where God is going to focus the trouble, because they're part of the Red Sea drowning of Pharaoh's group, right? They don't belong to the kingdom. They're not talking in the kingdom, walking in the kingdom, teaching the kingdom. Okay. Final, they're an enemy. Final security measures are being prepared for major announcements. All mainstream media outlets will be forced to concede and cover the major announcements. Folks, I don't know if you know about it or not, but they are backing up. They know something that we don't, because they're backing up. Yes, they are. And they're saying things that they never would have said. And it evidently is because they don't have a choice. The new quantum financial system is ready to take over. Thus, the RV is expected to begin at any moment. Well, that would be cool. I suspect it's not really needed until you're about to go into the wilderness. You remember how the Egyptians put a lot of money into the hands of the Israelites because they feared their God. They put a lot of money into their hands and they sent them forth into the wilderness, which we know to be the tribulation. So let's see. Robin sent another important collection of updates here with a link, you know. And she made another statement a little later. All of this update is great to listen to. However, the third part is particularly interesting regarding the downing of the satellites and the computer mainframes of the CIA within the past 24 hours. So there's a link there about that. So I'm just saying, hey, it looks like people are confirming this stuff, and that the Red Sea may have started. We know the red wave. I think by the time we get to voting day, there's not going to be a whole lot of trouble. You know, they're always going to cheat. They're going to try to cheat. They tried to cheat and keep Trump from getting in there. They were doing a good job. I was looking at the graphs when they suddenly took a dive because everybody started praying. I mean, they reversed the situation completely. And it was because God's people prayed. They couldn't cheat. They couldn't get away with it. So you better do it again. I'm just saying, pray that they're brought down, that the criminals are brought down, just like McCain, that the criminals are brought down. Whether they do what they did with him, I've heard that they gave him a choice. You can go down to Gitmo. We'll basically take you out down there, execute you down there, or you can stay here, tell on all your friends, and we'll let you have a decent funeral. And basically, that's what I heard, the choice that he took. And he did tell on all his friends. So you can see this is a snowball rolling down a hill. This is another thing that we've prayed. We've commanded it and sent it forth, the angels, to cause them to rat on one another. And it's been happening, as you can see. You know, we started commanding this before it started happening. And it's been happening. They are going to rat on one another. They're scared to death. Okay. Here's something more on the other side of the church faction. I was accused by one who started the latest faction of putting the curse on him, which is what that spirit always says. I've been hearing it for years, you know, and I always give pretty close to the same answer. So I gave an answer. I sent an answer, plus I added a few verses to it for your consumption this time towards the end. There is a curse on their action, always. You can see the curse with these people on TV in the government when they get up there and their eyes are twitchy and they can't keep a decent sentence and their brains are gone. What have they been doing? Sacrificing children, for goodness sake. They're Satanists. They're full of demons now. And they can't function right. There's a curse on that, by goodness. You know? So the same thing happens with the faction. They're two or, you know, full of demons. So there's a curse. So here's my reply, which I think is true concerning both the government and the church faction and this particular one. I said, first of all, I am praying for you because I know it's not you. I know the good person that you were. Relatively, I should say. There was a fault there, or there wouldn't have been this falling away, right? Right now, you're not in control. If you repent and agree with me to get rid of these demons, all things are possible. You say that I am the one who put that curse on you. First of all, they're saying that the curse has been put on them by saying this, and yes, I know it. It always happens. Always. This person here became totally brain dead. I mean, for a long period of time, because of falling into the faction before and into other things, and it just took them out. So I say, please consider the impossibility of this. Let me back up. You say that I am the one who put that curse on you. Please consider the impossibility of this, and who is actually guilty of putting that curse on you. This is only a few verses, but the book is full of them. Also, from the verses and dreams that we have received about you, we know that the worst is yet to come. By far, if you don't repent and stop judging everyone else to shift the blame from your sins, listen to the last few broadcasts, for instance. You say, I cursed you? Well, God says, no curse can come on you unless you have given it cause from his viewpoint. Proverbs 26:2, as the sparrow in her wandering and as the swallow in her flying, So the curse that is causeless alighteth not. If you haven't given the curse a cause, it can't alight. If there's not a cause for God, the curse can't alight. You say that I cursed you. That's not possible. Only you can curse you. When you curse the people of God by destroying their food given by God, as in our website, and destroy the credibility of those who taught there by slander, you cursed yourself. Because Father said in Genesis 12 and 3, I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee I will curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Okay, so if you mistreat God's people, like was done, there's a curse on you. Nobody has to put a curse on you. God's already stated it in his word. It has to come to pass. So, when you are a curse to God's people, you will reap what you sow. Isaiah 59 and 12 says, For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. So they are cursing and they are cursed, because whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. And Exodus 22 and 28 says, Thou shalt not revile God nor curse a ruler of his people, of thy people. Now every disobedience brings a just recompense, Paul said. When they're disobeying these words, they're bringing a curse on them. It's the curse like of Deuteronomy 28, for instance. You don't have to curse people. Now, God can use Paul like he did in 1 Corinthians 5, turning a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Is that a curse? Well, no. If his flesh is not destroyed, he's not going to be saved. Because it goes on to say that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. When is a curse not a curse? When it's a blessing. It's a blessing if God keeps you back from the pit, for goodness sake. He knows what he's doing. These things can't be spoken by somebody who has personal anger or unforgiveness towards someone. They don't have any authority. Be ready to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full. God will use some people to do this, but it's God using them, not their will. Only you can curse you. Psalm 109 and 17 says, Yea, he loved cursing, and it came unto him. Yes, we learned a long time ago that they were hurling curses at us, you know. Of course, they call it turning you over to the devil or something goofy like that, but they don't have any right to do that, and that's why the curse comes back upon them, because it says it right here. Yea, he loved cursing, and it came unto him. Uh-oh. He delighted not in blessing, and it was far from him. And this is what's happening to him, I assure you. Psalm 109 and 18. He clothed himself also with cursing as with a garment, and it came into his inward parts like water, and like oil into his bones. I can tell you, there's several people, basically one in particular, but several people in this that have brought a curse upon themselves. It's astounding. We related to one of them that he said that the Lord was going to judge us through him. I said, well, that's fine, but who is being judged here? And there was a list as long as my arm of the curses on this person. And I pointed out to him, I said, I've got none of these. Who is God judging here? Let's use a little bit of common sense. No one, and by the way, you're 50 and I'm almost 70, and I don't have any of those things you got. No one can curse whom God has not cursed. Numbers 23:8. Listen. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? So where is the curse coming from? If it landed, it had a cause. And if it's judging, it is to hopefully turn you around so that you can be saved before you die. Numbers 22:11. Behold, the people that has come out of Egypt, it covereth the face of the earth. Now come, of course this is Balak, you know. Now come and curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to fight against them, and shall drive them out. And verse 12 says, And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Yeah, you can't curse whom God has blessed. Now let me point something else out to you while I'm at this particular point. Jesus bore the curse. He was a man-child. He bore the curse for us. There are types of man-childs going all the way back through the Bible. You just pick a few of them out, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a consistent thing. You know, Joseph, he went to prison to come out and be the ruler. Now that appeared like a curse, but it was a crucifixion that was a curse. God crucifies people for his purposes. The man-child goes through that. Joseph went through that. Job went through that. David went through that. Jeremiah went through that. Was there a cause? Yes, but the cause was a good cause. This was a chastening. A chastening on the flesh. A crucifixion of the flesh. But there was a cause. What about these wicked people who are living under curses? Now, they would all say, well, we're righteous. They think they are. And there's really not that anything you can do for them until God says you're free, basically. There's nothing you can do for them. They're so self-righteous they wouldn't listen to me or anybody else. They're always right. Okay, so they're falling under this other category. Numbers 24:10, and Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. And what did he say? He said, well, how can I curse whom God hath not cursed? You know, hey, I'm just a mouthpiece here, right? In fact, if somebody who's just wanting to be a mouthpiece and wanting to curse somebody because they've done them wrong or done something against them, it's just words that fall off on the ground. That's all it is. The curse comes because of disobeying Lord's words. Like I said, there's a condition, and that's if there's a crucifixion happening, which is a good thing. Remember, Joseph was lied about by the harlot. But when he came out, he was the Lord over that harlot. When David was put in his position, the Edomites hated him. But when he was put in that position, he was their Lord. He ruled over them. That's what's happening. So, the curse comes because of disobeying the Lord's word. Deuteronomy 11:26 says, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. Yeah. And verse 28 says, And the curse, if you will not hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. You disobey the word. Listen, I know those demons so well. When a person has that, you speak to them about obeying the word, it goes right over their head. They close their ears and they out-talk you. Because they're not interested in obeying. They don't realize that's where their curse is coming from. It's astounding. All right, Deuteronomy 29:18. lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go to serve the gods of those nations, which Baal is one of them, and he's a false Jesus. See, they're the Jesus of the faction favors them. They don't have to obey, and they can do any kind of sin and just ignore it. It doesn't matter. You can't. They have no conscience. So they have this other God that they call Jesus. You know, it's another God. Lest there should be any among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Deuteronomy 29 and 19. And it come to pass that when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, to destroy the moist with the dry. And that's what they want to do. They want to destroy the moist. Because that's what their father wants them to do. And verse 20, the Lord will not pardon him, but when the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and all the curse that is written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. Now, you folks out there in the faction, you don't want to go this far. And some of you have already gone this far. Some of you will never come back to God. You're dying with a curse, and so is your family. If you can repent, you need to do it. Verse 21, and the Lord will set him apart unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that is written in this book of the law. And 30 and 19 says, Deuteronomy 30 and 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I have set before thee life and death and blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed. You're going to find out that whenever you bring the curse into the house, your children are taken out by it, your wife is taken out by it, your husband is taken out by it, and the destruction has begun a long time ago for the slanderers. Psalm 101 and 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Psalm 15 and 1 through 3 says, Lord, who hath sojourned in thy tabernacle? Oh boy, that's what we're called to be and do, right? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That's Zion, right? The bride. That's why the highway of holiness goes to Zion, and the beasts cannot go thereon. So if you're in faction, you are a beast. You will not go there. We've already received words that these factious people have missed the man, child, and bride, and some of them have missed the kingdom entirely. An elect group will come out. We just spoke them out a while ago. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. When a person lies to themselves that they're not guilty, when they know down deep inside that they have done exactly what they've been told, but it doesn't make any difference. They lie because they don't want to be seen, because of rejection, because of fear of man. They don't want to be seen as guilty. They know they did wrong. They know they did horrible. They just haven't been granted repentance. And repentance has to be granted by God, or a person can't turn around and go the other way. Speak of truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Who's going to be in God's holy hill? That's right. Those that slander not with their tongue, nor doeth evil to their friend, or take up a reproach against their neighbor. Those who do not forgive from the heart are not forgiven. And so they're under the curse, because you have to have forgiveness to get out from under the curse. They're under the curse. All the curses of the law are upon them. with their families and under the tormentor demons. Matthew 18:21 on down says, "Then came Peter and said unto him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's an awful lot. And of course, we all of our past sins are forgiven of our past sins, if we forgive one another. If we don't, we're not forgiven. We're under the curse of our own sins. This one came with a great debt, the debt of sin, it's called. "But for as much as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made." Sold into what? Into bondage. To who? The demons, as the Lord is going to tell us in a few minutes here. They're tormentors. They torment you. And you have to count the cost. You're counting the cost of your evil actions by the judgments that have come upon you. When you count the cost, you can turn around sometimes by the grace of God and go the other way, right? That's what God's saying. I have to chasten you so that you will turn, because in this way you'll be lost forever. Just to make it simple. 26. "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." How's he going to do that? His very confidence in what he's going to be able to do is going to be his downfall. You see, the only one that can forgive us the debts, the Lord, and you can't pay enough to get out from under that curse, because all of your past sins are still on your head if you don't forgive. "And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt." That was the only way. He wasn't going to repay it. There was no way for him to do it. He had to be released from the debt. "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings. And he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay what thou owest. So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Same thing he said." That should have reminded him right there. "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay all that which was due." You know, Jesus came to open the prison to those that were bound, and to deliver the captives in Isaiah 61. And that meant bound in sin, shapen in iniquity, under the demons, right? Some people come out and they go right back where they came from because they won't forgive. "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were exceedingly sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done." Oh, boy. Then the Lord knew he was a hypocrite. Hypocrisy is major sin among the faction. Major. "Then his Lord called him unto him and saith unto him, Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldest not thou also have had mercy on thy fellow servant, even as I had mercy on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due." You know what I mean? He's going to pay with your own hide? Yeah. Yes, because this is a debt of sin. And you're under the curse. "So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one his brother from your heart." Has to be done. You cannot hold any personal unforgiveness towards anybody. Ever. There is governmental forgiveness that is dispensed by God through people who are not doing the sin themselves. Be in readiness to avenge disobedience when your obedience is made full. He'll do it through these people. Why does he defend people by cursing their enemies? Why is he defending someone? Please stop and think about it. Why is he defending this person? He must have forgiven them. He must hold them in favor. He must think that they're righteous. And why is he cursing the other person? Because he's God Almighty, and he knows what wickedness is, and you can't hide it from him, and you can't deny it. There's a curse on breaking God's word, and yet they have no conscience. That's destructive. Part of the curse on disobedience to the word is a reprobate mind given over to perverse lusts. Yes, and we've seen it. We know about this text. Romans 1:24 through 2 and 8. Wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. This is rampant among the faction. And they act like they're not going to admit it, and so they're not going to confess their sins, so they're not going to get delivered. When I tried to help a brother one time to get delivered by confessing his sins, I told him, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I already knew what his sins were, but he didn't do that. He just glossed it over. So he stayed in his curse. Wasn't anything could be done. For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Yes, that's the only thing they can do with that demon inside them. Exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, their flesh, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions. Every vile deed comes with faction, the Lord said. Listen, every vile deed. That's what he said. For the women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. Yep, that's happening. And likewise also the men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. Yep, I've seen that. Lord took me in a vision and showed me four factious men doing sodomy. And he told me to report it to one of them, and he was obviously guilty. Michael was right there when I reported the vision. The Lord took me in vision and showed me them doing that. Okay, so, you know, this is because of love God does this. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He's turning you over to deeper and deeper sin so that you can be convicted that you're the sinner. Don't judge anybody else. You are the sinner. But they can't do that. There's pride. There's lust. There's total lack of conscience. Total. And even as they refuse to have God in their knowledge, which is what happens when people fall into factions, that's exactly what happens. They refuse to have God in their knowledge. God gave them up unto a reprobate mind. That's a rejected mind. To do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Now God can use all this to bring someone to humility. He can do it. He can suddenly awaken them to find out what they have done, because they don't know that they've done anything wrong in a lot of cases. All they know is that they're living under a curse. Now, they're not going to tell you that. They're going to say, you're blessed, and I'm blessed, and everybody's blessed, you know. No, but they're lying. It's always cursed. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God. How could anybody get this bad? When God turns you over to a reprobate mind, this is what happens. Insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents, without understanding. Covenant breakers, yes. You can't make an agreement with them. Don't make an agreement with one of them that has never repented, because it will be broken. Without natural affection. You've heard trust but verify? Yeah, right. Without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, because there's no conscience, there's no restraint, there's no fear of the Lord in a reprobate mind. Not only do the same, they know it, but they do the same. They also consent with them that practice them. That's right. In chapter 2, in verse 1, wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Now who is cursing who here? Thou condemnest thyself. You don't need any help. When you're turned over to the factious demons and the witchcraft demons and the slander demons, you don't need any help to get cursed. Nobody can put a curse on you. God has already done it. It is spoken. It is written. Thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost practice the same things. Same things they're judging other people for their doing. And they're lying. As you can see the fruit. They're lying in the first place. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. So God is a righteous judge. When he brings a curse on people, it's the truth. It's what needs to be done. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judges them that practice such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? They can't escape the judgment of God. First of all, it would not be good for them to escape. Because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. If God departs from your conscience, you will split hell wide open. You'll regret it for eternity. I don't care what they say. That's what the Word says. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Notice, it has to be the goodness of God to lead you to repentance. You can't go there on your own. People say, think that they can. Well, I'll just live out my life the way I want, but before I die, you don't know the hour of your death. And you're dying gradually. Every time you step out of the door, all the time the rest of your life, you're dying gradually. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath, treasurest up for thyself. Recently, Eve had a dream about a bulging wall, which sounds like the scripture that says, it shall burst upon the head of the wicked. It's bulging out, ready to fall. It's the wrath on the other side of the wall, because the wall is not keeping it out, because the wall is separation. It represents sanctification. If it's weak, it's your fault. So treasurest up for thyself. In other words, you're storing up wrath. You think, oh, I've escaped it so far. Oh, no, you're treasuring it up. It's going to burst upon your head. Treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath. Whenever that day comes, he's not talking about someday down the road. It's whenever it comes for you. And revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. That's what God gives them. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. The curse on the disobedient to God's word cannot be broken. Deuteronomy 28:1 says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy beasts, the increase of thy cattle, and the young of thy flock. Blessed shalt be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thee, and they shall come out against thee in one way, and shall flee before thee seven ways. It will happen. The Lord will command the blessing upon thee in thy barns, and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. He will bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord will establish thee for a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. The people of the lands were afraid of the Israelites. They saw what God did to their enemies at the Red Sea. They heard the stories that were passed on to them of what happened. And the Lord will make thee plenteous for good in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord will open unto thee as good treasure the heavens, and give the rain of thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord will make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe to do them. Oh, you must be careful. When you walk by faith, you can do the commandments of God, because faith gives grace, which is the ability of God to do whatever you need to do. And shalt not turn aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Obey his commandments, or the curses will be upon you. You can't walk by faith and be justified by faith if your conscience condemns you. If you're in willful disobedience, forget it. You got to repent. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, the increase of thy cattle and the young of thy flock. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will send upon thee cursing, discomfiture, rebuke, and all thou puttest thy hand unto do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the evil of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee. There's a pestilence coming. How did it say that the king of Babylon was going to destroy the rebellious people of God? By sword and by pestilence. There's a pestilence coming. We've been telling everybody that. And who is it on? It's on them under the curse. Notice. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest in to possess it. God's word will not be broken. He will see to it. The Lord will smite thee with consumption, and with fever, and with inflammation, and with fiery heat, and with the sword, and with blasting, with mildew. They shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee, until thou be destroyed. The Lord will cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and thou shalt flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy dead body shall be food for all the birds of the heavens unto the beasts of the earth. You think God won't do this? He does it all the time. And there shall be none to frighten them away. The Lord will smite thee with the boil of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scurvy, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord will smite thee with madness, and with blindness, and with astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in the darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and robbed always, and there shall be none to save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not use the fruit thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shalt not be restored unto thee. Thy sheep shall be given up unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to save thee. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given up unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day, and there shall be naught in the power of thy hand. The fruit of thy ground and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord will smite thee in the knees and in the legs, and with sore boil, whereof thou canst not be healed. From the sole of thy foot unto the crown of thy head, the Lord will bring thee and thy king whom thou set over thee unto a nation that thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, and there shall thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the peoples whither the Lord shall lead thee away. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. And thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but thou shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. And thou shalt have olives throughout all thy borders, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olives shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be thine, for they shall go into captivity. This is true too. They won't be saved, right? Captivity. All that, so no one lives unto himself or dies unto himself, right? The children are sanctified through the believing parents, right? You know, if you're not going to walk as a believer in the Word of God, you got no rights for your children to be saved. All thy trees and the fruit of thy ground shall the locust possess. The sojourner that is in the midst of thee shall mount up above thee higher and higher, and thou shalt come down lower and lower. He shall lend to thee, but thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. And all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. So, I mean, you're passing on your curse to your children, your friends, your wife, your mama, your daddy, on and on. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart by reason of the abundance of all things. We have to be thankful for what the Lord has given us. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies that the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord will bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth. As the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, that shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young, and shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy ground until thou be destroyed, and thou shalt not leave thee grain, they shall not leave thee grain, new wine, oil, or the increase of cattle, or the young of thy flock, until they have caused thee to perish. You say, David, this is just too much. Well, it's something we really ought to meditate on if anybody thinks they can get away with disobedience. And they shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fortified walls come down wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And they shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, whom the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the distress wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. The man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil towards his brother, and towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children whom he hath remaining, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him. In the siege and in the distress wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, who would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil towards the husband of her bosom, and towards her son, and towards her daughter, and towards her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and towards her children whom she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things, secretly, in the siege and in the distress wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that is written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious, fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even the great plagues, there's plagues coming, folks, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and long continuance. And he will bring upon thee again all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Whereas he had already said to his people who obeyed him and kept his commandments, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Which I have put upon the Egyptians. Notice, it's not the devil that puts the curse on you, it's the Lord. Have you listened to what I've said? The devil is just a vessel of dishonor that God uses to chasten those who are wicked. God works in all of his vessels to will and to do of his good pleasure. And also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Who's the one that administers the curse? Who's the one that orders the curse? It's not a man. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou didst not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to cause you to perish and to destroy you, and you shall be plucked up from off the land whither thou goest in to possess it. You know the Lord hates the wicked, his word says. He hates. He has a right to hate. You don't, because you don't have a right to judge. And hatred is judgment. He can judge. He is the judge. He can hate. You can't hate. He hateth all workers of iniquity. And those that cause division, his Bible says, are an abomination, and he hates them. The Lord will scatter thee among all peoples from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, and there thou shalt serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, even wood and stone. And the Lord will scatter thee among all peoples from the end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, and there shalt thou serve other gods which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease. There shall be no rest for the sole of thy foot. But the Lord will give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and pining of soul. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear night and day, and thou shalt have no assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would it were even. And at even thou shalt say, Would it were morning. For the fear of thy heart, which thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thy eyes, which thou shalt see. And the Lord will bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By way thereof I said unto thee, and thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall sell yourselves in unto your enemies for bondmen and for bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. A very discouraging, depressing end to the wicked who do not fear God, will not obey God, and fall under the curse. This is the curse that Jesus delivered us from. But we have to repent and believe to receive it. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would have mercy upon those who have been in bondage in Babylon out there and need your perfect grace to deliver them. We ask, Lord, that you have mercy upon your elect out there that are taken captive to these demons, to Babylonish religion, etc. That you would have mercy upon your people. That you would have mercy and deliver your people out of bondage in Babylon and deliver them back to their land. Lord, we speak it so that you're going to have grace upon your elect. That you're going to bring them back to their promised land. That they will serve you there in blessing and humility. And they will remember the lesson that they learned while in sin. They will remember it. Lord, that you will bring all these things to their remembrance so that they can be humble before you and not be carried away again into captivity by the curse and by the demons. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus, that you'd have mercy upon your people. Lord, we have seen that when a person is captive to the faction, witchcraft, spirits, they don't listen, they can't hear, they have no conscience. There is no way to deliver them until you say different. And Lord, we're asking for your mercy to grant your people understanding as to who they are, what they have done, and where they are, and where they're headed. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, we love our brethren that were taken into captivity. We want to see them free. We ask, O Lord, that you have mercy. Lord, we know you hear the prayers of the righteous. We know that you haven't heard their prayers because they're wicked. But that you hear the prayers of the righteous for mercy and grace towards them. So that's what we're asking, Lord. Have mercy. Lord, send dreams and visions to our brethren who are in captivity. Help them to realize who they are and what you think about them because they've been deceived. This reprobate mind has deceived them. Send dreams, visions, yes, angels, as we've seen today, to open their blind eyes. Grant repentance. Grant grief for sin. So much grief that they never want to go back that way. I've seen people go through this four times. They never get enough beating. Fall right back into it. Pride, self-will, rejection so that they won't accept anything anybody else says. Lord, have mercy. Set the captives free. We cry out unto you, O Lord. We would, if we were switched places, want them to cry out for us. We cry out for them, Lord, in captivity. We ask, Lord, your mercy and your grace. We know it pleases you that we desire this for lost souls. Lord, we're grieved. We pray. We've prayed much for our brethren who are taken into captivity. They say we don't love them because we stand firm on your word. We will not disobey your word. We will not fellowship or speak with them. A factious person after first and second admonition refuse. We have learned that when people disobey, they get taken. Because of disobedience, they fall under that curse. But they want us to love them more than we love you, Lord, and we're not going to do that. They call it love. We call it obedience. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what the Lord said. We already know what they are. The faction knows what those rules are. But they don't care because they got a reprobate mind. So, Lord, we pray that this correction go into hearts and help people see that the devil has told them it's their enemy that's done this to them. It's their enemy that has turned them over to the curse. Because then there's no guilt involved. And they don't want to accept any guilt, and the devil knows it, so he feeds them that line. Lord, we thank you for having mercy, because that's the only way this proud people can be repented and delivered. But Lord, you told us to proclaim today these things, and we did. We have spoken it. We believe you're going to bring it to pass. We know that you've told us that 2/3 of the people who have gone into faction are going to die. And only 1/3 will be restored and will serve the people of God. So, Lord, we just ask you to have mercy upon that third. That's what you've told us. We know that you have cleansed your church and that they're going to shine forth in the kingdom of their Father when the tares are taken out and bundled together to be burned. That then is when your people are going to shine. They're going to be a sanctified body. Not just individuals, but also a sanctified body. Because the wicked have been taken out. Stains, the spots and blemishes in our love feasts have been removed. Yes, they were a pollution. But let them come back humbled, Lord, and let them come back with a desire to make up, like the Apostle Paul, who knew he had persecuted the church. He knew he had done evil, even though in self-righteousness he persecuted and he killed the brethren. He came back with a desire to make up for his evil. And he worked harder than all the rest of the apostles because of that. And so it can be with the faction. I've asked the Lord over these years of watching this thing destroy people, Lord, where are your Pauls? And of course, he's assured me they're coming. And they are. And they will work very hard for the kingdom. They appreciate the mercy that God is going to show them. To whom much is given, much is expected. These brethren that came in amongst us and celebrated the word of God and were so happy to have found what they call the truth. And yet when their flesh got in the way and they didn't want to give it up, they gave it all up. I've seen it. It's astounding to see people who once valued truth now no more even remembered it, nor did they value it when you put it under their nose. That's part of that reprobation curse. That's why I tell people, be careful, obey the rules. Don't let someone speak slander into your heart. It will destroy you. Don't let a factious person or a witchcraft person speak to you. It will destroy you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. They corrupt, according to Romans, even the heart of the innocent. So, Lord, we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for a great revival. Lord, we know a chastening is coming upon the apostate church, and that your people are going to escape. But the wicked are not, because they're under the curse. So, Lord, we pray that they survive long enough to realize that the price that they're paying is the curse on their life and the losing of their eternal souls. I ask you, Lord, to make it real. Make the revelation real to them so they will understand. Thank you so much, Father. All right, saints, thank you for joining us today. God bless you and keep you, and keep on praying. God's hearing your prayers. Send forth the angels. Amen. All right. God bless you. Good night.